power. Acts 1:8, you've got the power. It was promised. It was given. We have it. And now it's time to do something about it. And it's not that you're not. It's not that we're completely not. But I just want to keep this emphasis before us because I know where we came from. I know the journey. And I've been there as pastor now for a number of years. And faith is not just some subject in a magazine periodical or something on radio or television. The Bible said four times in the Word of God, the just shall live by faith. I know you know that, but you know what we need to do? We need to know what we know in a stronger way. Let me say that again. We need to know what we basically know, but we need to know that in a stronger way. And the Word of God tells us from Habakkuk, the just shall, I like what Habakkuk said, the just shall live by his faith. I mean, that's the way Habakkuk describes that. And then going further, the Bible tells us in Romans and in Galatians and in Hebrews that the just shall live by faith. Now, anyone knows that when God says something more than once, he wants you to give special attention to that. The just shall live by faith. And I used to hear it. Thank God I don't hear it. But every once in a while, I still hear it. And here's the thing. We don't know everything about faith. We're not, you know, we're not putting ourselves on any kind of a pedestal. But I do know faith. And I know the starting point of faith, and I know the continuance of faith, and I know one thing, you're not going to make it, and I'm not going to make it, the church is not going to make it without faith. Our nation is not going to make it without in God we trust. Trust and faith, to me, are almost Siamese twins, because trust, total, complete reliance in. We cannot make it through education alone. We cannot make it through the military alone. We cannot make it through any political party alone. We must have God. And thank God it's still on our coins and still on our currency. In God we trust. So the Bible said the just. Notice the latter part of that. Well, that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. You can't be good enough, bad enough, have enough works, give enough, or go enough, or sacrifice enough. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. You know, if something receives quarters only, you try to put something else in there, it's not going to work. You've got to put the accurate coin or the accurate currency in if you're going to get the results that you desire. Now, many times people say, okay, Pastor, that's a good point. But you see, I'm not one of those spiritual ones. I'm not one of those, you know, people that's greatly gifted. I'm not super spiritual. Well, the Bible tells us very plainly in Romans 12:3 that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And every believer has one of two types of faith, used faith or unused faith. And this walk with Jesus begins in faith. We're saved by faith. You know, we lead people in speaking a sinner's prayer, but it's still got to be mixed with faith in the heart of the person that is praying that prayer. The just shall live by faith. Now, folks, I know that some of the things I'm saying in this service are very simplistic. They're basic. They're just step one. But the problem is many times we as believers, we want to go from step one to step 493. You start where you are. And the just shall live by faith. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can, because God has dealt to every born-again believer has a measure of faith. Now, if I could compare it, your measure of faith is like bodybuilding. I remember when we were living in a home that we remodeled over on Southside. It was an older home, and we remodeled it, and there were three or four of us. And he said, "What's that little wheel over there on the floor?" I said, "Oh, that's a sissy wheel." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you get a hold of it, put both hands on it, and you know, like you do push-ups, you just work that wheel." Well, he said, "There's nothing to that." I said, "Well, that's right." He said, I've been working with it, so I could do quite a few, you know. And he said, "Well, how many can you do?" And I told him, because I'd worked up to that. Well, he just jumps down there and does twice what I told him I could do. Boy, the next day, he said every muscle in his midsection was screaming. That little simple little wheel deal put him in outer space. You see, the secret to it can be done, but you've got to work up to it. You've got to work up to it. And you don't just say, "Hey, that's..." Yeah, he was strong enough to do it, but he also had to go through the after effects of what he did. It's time for us to zero in to strengthen our faith. You see, we make the mistake of waiting until some big hill or some big mountain or some big challenge comes, and then we just back up and just try to bulldoze it down. Start strengthening your faith on the level where you are. Start strengthening your faith on the level where you are. Right where you are. There are three power gifts that God has given us. And one is faith. It's a power that God has made available to us. In Matthew 15:2, to the woman. You remember we talked about the Greek woman. And Jesus said, "Great is thy faith, be it unto you as you will." She was a Greek woman. You remember, she's the woman that Jesus insulted and said, you know, the little dogs lick up the crumbs. And Jesus said to that woman, "Great is thy faith." And the centurion, I was just reading that again today. I believe that's Matthew 8:10. And you remember, he said, "My servant is grievously sick. He's grievously ill." And Jesus said, I'll go and heal him. And he said, no. He said, "I'm a man of authority. I'm under authority. Speak the word only." There is no such thing as faith being activated in your life without us speaking the word only. You don't mix the word with unbelief. You don't mix the word with the latest news report. You don't mix the word with what man necessarily has to say about it. You speak the word based on the word of God. Now, I do not want to get complicated at any point, but the first power gift that God asked me to call to our attention in this service is faith. Faith. Have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. Boy, that sounds bold, doesn't it? Now, let's go over to Hebrews 11. Let's go over to Hebrews 11. Because, you know, I've heard a lot of things over a period of time. Someone said, "Well, you know, this faith thing was just a New Testament thing. I mean, this was sort of a Jesus thing." Well, now, wait a minute. Let's go back over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Everything I'm sharing with you right now is to help you. Let's look at Hebrews 11, and you can read it along with me. I don't usually read this much in a service, but I'm going to read from Hebrews 11. You ready to go? "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." By what? By faith. By faith, those of the past, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand. Well, you know, all this thing about creation doesn't make sense. I'll agree with you, but it's by faith that we understand. It's not by your brain that we understand. It's not by a college professor's understanding he thinks of that. But by faith, or through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. Now, you'll hear this over and over again now. Repetition. Hey, this is Old Testament. You know how Hebrews 11 was pieced together? One verse at a time, one believer at a time, one by faith at a time. Hebrews 11 is built on by faith. Faith didn't start when Jesus came on the scene. Faith was all the way through the Old Testament. I said all the way through. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You talk about a strong life, that something you lived that long ago is still preaching and teaching today whenever people preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, Abel's offering to God was so acceptable to God because it was by faith that we're still speaking about it. By faith, Enoch. Hey, here's an interesting one. Are you interested in UFOs? You know, you interested in phenomenon? You interested in things up in the sky? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Man disappeared and was not found. Couldn't find him. Because God had translated him, for before his, are you ready for this? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it goes on in verse 6 to tell us the kind of faith, obviously, that this man had. But without faith, it is impossible to please him or God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, another good one. You interested in ski rigs? You interested in ocean-going vessels? Well, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I mean, by faith Abraham, verse 8. We're still in Hebrews 11. Hey, this is all Old Testament. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. That's interesting. We're going to take a trip, honey. Where are we going? I don't have the slightest idea. Just fill up the tank with gas and put, well, what kind of clothes should we wear? I mean, you know, should we go summer or winter? What? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Remember, you're talking about a 99-year-old man, not a 9-year-old woman. That's not normal. You do understand this. You do understand this through faith. Because she judged God faithful who had promised. Even of one him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky and multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. By faith. Are you listening to me? Let's go down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. I mean, he had a miracle child, and then God says, put him on the altar. Offered up Isaac, that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. My. And then by faith, Jacob, verse 21, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Verse 22, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Are you getting the drift of this? Hebrews 11 was put together verse by verse, character by character, by faith. By faith. The Bible said by faith. By faith. Now, later on in Hebrews, someone said, well, there were those that didn't choose. Yes, there were. There were those that chose a better resurrection. They were tortured and went through some awesome things. Verse 39 said, these all having obtained a good report through faith. How do we obtain a good report? Through faith. We're saved by faith. We're kept by faith. We receive a good report by faith. But the Bible said they received not the promise. Notice verse 40. That's the last verse here in Hebrews chapter 11. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You talk about a link with the Old Testament. I tell you, Christianity is linked. I know the plan of salvation is in the New Testament, but we're linked with the Old Testament. There's the old that complements the new, and there's the new that complements the old. Isn't that amazing? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So this is a co-op thing. Now, remember, three power forces that God has given. First of all, there's faith. You've got it. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've got faith. You've got a measure of faith. And that's all you need for starts. That's all you need to start up this journey of faith. You've got faith. You have the measure of faith. I mean, I know people say, Lord, give me more faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know, your spirit knows the difference. When you've been feeding on the word, when you've been feeding on just what you read in the newspaper or some magazine or whatever, you feed on the word and the word will strengthen you. I'm telling you, it is awesome. So the Bible again says, have faith in God. Woman, great is thy faith. The centurion, he just said, speak the word only. And Jesus said, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in all Israel. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. All right, faith. We can't live without it. We can't please God without it. Prayer's not answered without it. It's not how loud you pray, how quiet you pray. I've got 12 steps that God can, you know, it's faith based on the Word of God. I said it's faith based on the Word of God. And it's a force that all of us have. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Hebrews 11, by faith, get it down. It's all faith. I know there's obedience, and I know that it has to be based on the Word of God. I understand that. But listen to me. It's all by faith. Your success, your favor, your finances, your marriage. I mean, just on and on. You're saved by faith. You're kept by faith. Filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. All right, so there's faith. Faith. The measure of faith. You have faith. I want to get this over. Teenagers. You know, here's the thing. Anything we can do on our... You ever see a little child say, I can do that. You know, they don't want you to get that little independent thing. I can do that. I know you can, but I'm going to help you to do it so we can get to church on time. I can do that. Anything that comes natural to us, anything that we can do and just fall into place, we have a tendency to do what we know we can do. instead of depending on God in the process. And I understood something after visiting with Brother Roberts. I've mentioned that there were so many jewels, that little nuggets of gold that came out of that. But when he was talking about the $8 million that the news media said, he said God was going to kill him if he didn't raise $8 million. But he said, what his understanding was, that if the $8 million was not raised, that his job would be through. And he was interested in raising it because he didn't want his job to be through. Well, you know, I'll leave that between him and God. That happened several years ago, and it was all in the news media. But he said something that's very important. And it was this, that God told him to combine medicine with faith and to train doctors who would lead medical teams to other countries. In other words, medical missionaries. And that really was the driving force of the medical side of that ministry. And now it looks like it's going to come back around full cycle, because that's in the process of happening. And he's really thrilled about that. But he said, what is happening, God? Our doctors are not going out in the field. Our doctors are not going overseas. And what it amounted to, when the doctors, the young doctors, male or female, graduated, they had a school bill of $75,000 to $100,000. You know, a loan, student loans. And they felt they needed to pay off their loans before they went out as missionaries, not having necessarily guaranteed wages. So their thinking was, I need to take care of this before I go out there. So therefore, they were not going out, and this was the purpose that Brother Roberts felt that God had instructed him to have a medical, you know, combined medicine with faith. And he said, a doctor explained to him, he said, you know, and he said, he explained it to me, but I missed it. They were sharp in their minds, but their spirit was not sharp in faith. Their brain power, their study power, their research power was strong. You excel in what you study. You excel in what you apply yourself to, whatever your gifts and giftings are. But they had not perfected their faith as they had perfected their minds to learn about medicine. And so he realized, and in, I don't know how he came to that conclusion, but it would take about $8 million to pay off all the student loans, as I understand the story, so that these medical doctors then could be released without their school loans. They could go out and lead medical teams in other countries. And that was what that particular situation was all about. And, you know, I thought about that. You know, I see that as a pastor. You know, when you're real sharp in an area, you have a tendency to think, well, you know, I can do it myself. Folks, we need God in everything we do. You never come to a place to where you're so smart and so sharp and you have, the other day when they had all that backup with the brakes on the airplanes and more, there were two or three plane loads of guys from Brazil, and they were hot under the collar. They've been there for 6 hours. Their luggage was lost, and they were not happy travelers. And so some guy was trying to cut a line, and man, they had to call security there. And I remember that one guy that tried to cut the line, he looked at the other guy, he said, I've got more degrees than you do. I've never heard that one before. I thought, and the guards, security guards stepped up because he was about to get Brazil'd there for a moment. Do you see what I'm saying? What we're good at, what we're brilliant at, what we have inclination toward, we have a tendency to think, well, I can do it by myself. Folks, we really can't do anything by ourselves. Without Him, we can do nothing. We need God every day. We need God in every way. We need God in everything we do. There's no such thing as us being so gifted or so talented or so educated or so whatever that we don't need God. We need God. I need God. You need God. Do you see what I'm saying? We need that God-given faith that God has given us. And it's amazing. People do, many people seem to do quite well without it, but not really. Because one day a crunch and a crisis comes and their faith is sub-zero and they don't know what to do with their life. You know, it's a wonderful thing to attend a church where you're encouraged to strengthen your faith in God, to have faith in God. Then no matter what you face, where you face, how you face, you have a basis there to work from, and it's called faith in God. Now, I want to go to the second. Now, I've got to move quickly here. And there's no way to finish all the things that are in my spirit. All right, first of all, there's faith in God. Secondly, there is the power. We've been talking about this power, Acts 1:8. That word power over in Luke's gospel, Luke 10:19. He said, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." And he said, "Power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing," are you ready for this? "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." All right, the second word is power. And an understanding of faith coupled with power, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know, that's an awesome promise. And that was given before Pentecost. I mean, that was when they were sending them out to minister. And there is that word power. You see that word power. He said, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. Holy Ghost and power. I know when ORU first started, they had a basketball team. And I guess Brother Roberts put some personal coaching. You talk about a life coach. He put some personal coaching into those students. And even though everything didn't quite measure up, they so believed that they had the power to play basketball, they went out and just, was it 1 or 2 or 3 years? I mean, they were winning. You see, the power of faith superseded some other thing. Now, they were physically conditioned, yes. But do you understand that? It's power. "Behold, I give unto you power." Power. Folks, we need power. In this world in which we live, he said, "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." How many know we have some enemies? Christianity has some enemies. In politics, you're hearing less and less about what's very precious to us. I give you power. Power. Over all the power of the enemy. Power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the devil, or the power of the devil, for God was with him. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you understand God has given that to you as a believer? Do you understand that's part of what God has given you?